Blog Talk Radio. Insights from the Couch, part 4 of Getting Over a Breakup. Yes, there is life after a breakup. Once you dug through the crap, it can be a beautiful and amazing world out there, healing and moving on. That's what today's talk is all about. In the previous 3 parts, we talked about the normal reactions of going through a breakup, 7 things not to do after a breakup, and last week we looked at breaking up from the aspect of the person who breaks up a relationship. Now that we have moved through all of those phases of breaking up, we want to end this section on a happy note. Hi, I'm Karen Weary Cole, licensed marriage and family therapist of Insights Counseling Center, Inc. in Orange City, Florida. I love this topic, as this is the part where we look at people blooming, becoming more than they were before, finding themselves perhaps even for the first time ever. As difficult as starting over after a breakup is, it can also be your chance to take another look at your life, reinvent yourself. Your life up until now may have been simply a time where you were in your virtual cocoon, and now you are ready to break out of the cocoon and unfold your beautiful wings and learn how to fly. It may seem strange to talk about recovering from a breakup in this way, yet it's up to you how to get to the other side of the pain. Here again, I speak not just from my professional background, but my personal experiences as well. While taking some time to grieve the loss of a significant relationship is in order, it is of the utmost importance to decide at some point to push through the pain and find joy again. Staying in the yuck does not punish your ex. It simply makes you miserable and everyone around you who has to be in contact with you. Even your best and closest friends and family have an expiration date for that. When I decided it was time for me to start fresh, I started reading books about dating since I had not been on the dating market for 22 years. And the last time I was on the dating market, I did not feel as though I was doing a very good job of it. What better place to be in now than now in my 40s, where I have had time to gain valuable life experience and establish a career and gain some confidence than to learn how to do relationships? Well, as it turns out, all of the dating books I read that were worth anything, in fact, emphasized on feeling good about yourself. My favorite book on this topic, my favorite book on this topic is The Tao of Dating, written by Dr. Ali Benazir. What I love so much about this book is that it's written by a man who obviously has a sincere reverence for women. Reading about what women look like from a man's perspective, that is, from a man who respects women, was enlightening to me. As I was reading the book, I felt good about being a woman and what it means to be a woman, especially a woman who's learning to be not only content with herself, but expanding, reaching out, exploring, being on adventure. It doesn't have to take much to be on adventure. It doesn't take a lot of money or time off. You work with what you have. And by the way, Dr. Ali Benazir has also written specific dating books for men, so it's not only focused on women. Some examples of working with little resources. In order to expand yourself, you do things you've not done before or things you used to enjoy and have not done in a while. When in a relationship, we can get lost in the other person. And if we have kids, they certainly take up a lot of our time, energy, and resources to the point that unless we make time for ourselves, we lose ourselves completely in our kids. It may feel selfish to take time to yourself, so you're also fighting feelings of guilt while on this self-exploration. It's okay to be selfish as long as you're not neglecting your dependents. In fact, by taking time to take care of yourself, you're teaching your kids some important lessons about respecting you. We cannot teach kids to respect us if we don't respect ourselves. In addition, we're also teaching our kids how to take care of themselves. by showing them that we, the adults, and their parent takes care of themselves. So, back to how you can go on adventures with little resources. When I first became single, I joined several interest groups on meetup.com. It's a site where anybody can start a group focusing on a topic or interest that you like. There are groups for single people who enjoy traveling, who don't want to travel alone, people who enjoy hiking, walking, personal growth, socializing around a particular topic. You name it. Some groups are specifically for singles, and others don't specify your relationship status. I joined several, and when the group arranges activities, you get an email, and you decide whether or not you want to attend that event. This way, I went to a painting event held at a restaurant. I had never been interested in painting before. However, my father was an artist, and I thought, who knows, maybe it'll be fun. It was quite an enjoyable afternoon, where I got to meet other people. I had an instructor there who helped guide us through the painting, and I've since then gone on several painting events and quite enjoyed myself. Another event I signed up for was a weekend bicycling trip on the west side of Florida. And again, it was a great way to get away for the weekend, meet some people I had never met before, see a part of Florida I had never seen before, all while exercising, doing something I love to do, which is bicycling. I'm also part of an organization called Couchsurfing, where you either ask to stay at someone's house while you're traveling, or you host someone who at your house while they're traveling for free. I had a woman stay with me for a few days while she was visiting her mother, who lives in a nursing home in my town. And she came down several times. We became friends, which was really enjoyable. And I hosted a newly retired couple who were bicycling across all of the U.S. Such an interesting couple to talk with. The experiences they've had and the adventure they were on was so inspiring. To me, going places and meeting people opens up my eyes to the fact that there are many ways of going about life, living life. We often feel so bound and stuck in one place, in one job, with specific people. And that's all fine and well if all those places and people make you feel good, feel light. However, if it feels heavy, like a burden, perhaps you would benefit from changing something. Part of growing and getting in touch with who you are is meditation, quiet time, prayer time. I don't care what you call it. It's time where you have no other outside stimulation going on that pulls you away from you. It's a practice that's beneficial to your mental health and your physical health. There's plenty of scientific documentation of how much, let's just call it meditation for our purpose here, helps when done on a regular basis. It helps with regards to reducing blood pressure, heart rate, it boosts immune systems, general feelings of well-being and joy. It increases people's ability to handle stress and to focus better. The list goes on and on. This is something I talk about all the time because of the importance to being true to yourself and to managing your life and setting healthy boundaries that work for you. Nobody else can do this for you, and nobody else is responsible for this other than themselves, in this case, you. When we learn to tune inward and listen to what our body tells us, and then take the next step, which is to communicate these findings assertively and respectfully to people we interact with, then we become authentic human beings. That, my friends, wow, that is being a human being who is working on their highest level of personhood. Being authentic means knowing who you are and what you want and need. And when you're there, you find peace and joy more of the time than not. The people you attract and allow into your inner circle will be people who lift you up and support and encourage you, just as you support and encourage and lift them up. You're in effect in alignment with who you truly are. This is where life begins. Crises are here to help us see the contrast between joy and pain, distress and eustress. When we have gone through the pain, we appreciate the joy so much more. It forces us to make difficult choices in life, and sometimes we have to get rid of the old in order to leave room for something new that's a better fit for us in our lives and where we currently are. It takes courage to do this. Keep in mind that you can't choose to stay in the pain because stepping out of the comfort zone is certainly uncomfortable. This is why it's called the comfort zone. Remember that anything we work for, we appreciate more than the things that are effortless. The beauty is that once you have made the leap into personal growth, it cannot be taken away from you. You cannot unlearn something you have learned. And you're not alone on this journey. So reach out to anyone who looks like they are receptive to you. You may benefit from adding a therapist at some point to help guide you through the hardest parts. Reach out to someone, though. Be brave. Go and explore and grow into your authentic selves. I honor your journey. The next series will be on dating and how to maneuver that journey. We'll discuss relationships and communicating. What makes relationships work, and what are early signs of a relationship that may be toxic. Until then, have fun exploring outside your comfort zone.